This is the Generations Broadcast. My name is Kevin Swanson, coming to you in one of the most significant times in American history as we chronicle the decline of Western civilization, the breakdown of entire societies, the breakdown of a nation, the breakdown of an empire, which is no surprise. Empires tend to break down. That's what's been happening since the Greek and Roman empires broke down, and then Spain, and then France, and England, now America. These empires are breaking down, although at this point, it's not just an empire. Now we're looking at the entire body of Western civilization coming down, friends, and we chronicle these events from time to time, and a highly significant event happened this week, as many of you know, with the Supreme Court decision on DOMA, the Defense of Marriage Act. In the first decision, the court ruled that a portion of the Defense of Marriage Act, which denies federal benefits to same-sex couples, is unconstitutional. That is, the DOMA Act that was signed by President Clinton, whom I believe was a liberal Democrat back in 1996, prohibited any federal benefits from being shared with same-sex couples. And that, my friends, has been determined unconstitutional by a 5-4 vote of the Supreme Court of the United States. And in a separate opinion, the court dismissed a case that asked the court to overturn a lower court decision striking down the California Marriage Act. The decision paves the way for marriages to resume in California. That was, of course, Prop 8. That was voted on by a Democratic majority in the state of California. But who cares? Supreme Court of the United States said, nuh-uh. There will be homosexual marriages in California. And they have guaranteed that by way of this Supreme Court decision. Friends, this is one of the most important Supreme Court decisions, I think, in the history of the United States. And it's important, I think, for our children to understand this, at least at the point at which they're of age, to understand what's going on in the culture around them. Supreme Court decisions are important. And this, I believe, was a watershed decision in the decline of Western civilization. Now, this is no surprise. This is the direction that our nation has been going for a long time. It was Kennedy, Anthony Kennedy, who wrote the decision. And that, again, no surprise, Ronald Reagan appointee. Ronald Reagan, the root cause of the decline of Western civilization. And friends, it's ultimately the presidents of the United States who are responsible for their appointees. And Howard Phillips spoke out strongly against the Anthony Kennedy nomination. And Ronald Reagan could have withdrawn the nomination, but did not. Anthony Kennedy was a baby killer, and everybody knew it by the time that Howard Phillips did his investigation. Friends, the bottom line with Anthony Kennedy is he did not fear God. He did not fear God, and he was appointed as a Supreme Court Justice of the United States, and he has done exactly what Howard Phillips and other conservatives suggested he would do back in the 1980s when he was appointed as Supreme Court Justice of the United States.
Well, it just goes to show how effective the other Kennedy, Ted Kennedy, was in determining the makeup of the court when he attacked Robert Bork and made it clear to all Republican nominee, all Republicans who would make a nominee, that they would not get a conservative on the court again.
Yeah. Dave, it was the last appointee that Ronald Reagan put on the Supreme Court in 1988. And his second term was nowhere as good as his first term, but it certainly set the direction for the nation. And friends, Ronald Reagan, also a great spender, a huge spender. He initiated a huge amount of debt for this nation back in the 1980s, and we are still suffering that to this day. Well, my friends, bottom line is, unless we get back to biblical principle again and again, unless we have leaders who fear God and are willing to put their life, their liberty, their property, their sacred honor on the line for the sake of principle, unless they're willing and able to do that, unless they're willing to die, I mean, get into office and then they're willing to die for principle, they're going to be useless. There's no sense in voting for them. And friends, I mean, this is, of course, the direction the nation is going. And it's very possible. And it is, I think, highly probable that that the nation is an apostate nation and is embracing everything that is opposed to that which is good and right. And homosexuality, Dave, is a huge, huge exhibition of a nation or a civilization that is imploding, that is going downhill. We call this the neuronic agenda, and we have several times on this program because it was Nero who came up with the idea of homosexual marriage back in AD 65 when he attempted to marry a couple of young men. And Nero, of course, was the most unpopular Caesar amongst the pagans. And certainly there is probably nobody worse, no worse infidel, no worse person in the entire history of the Christian church than Nero. Nero is considered by some to be the Antichrist in church history. He is considered probably, if someone was to poll 2 million Christians over a period of 2,000 years, they would find that Nero would be the very, very worst character in all of history. And yet he is the namesake for the homosexual marriage that now is being imposed on just about every Western nation around the world. And that to me is interesting. And the Supreme Court of the United States said they are in favor of the Neuronic agenda with a vote of 5-4 that came down just this week. This, my friends, is an indication of the end of a civilization. I chronicle this in my book, Apostate, The Men Who Destroyed the Christian Faith, a book I just released a couple of weeks ago. We're just about out of the first printing. If you're interested in understanding what's going on with our civilization in the loss of faith, but on the loss of family and the breakdown of entire social systems and the unraveling of an entire civilization, friends, you need to get my book, Apostate. A huge theme in my book, Dave, is this rising theme of homosexuality that dates back to the classical world. The Greeks and the Romans were big on this, of course. Now, some of them, of course, fought it. But generally speaking, they were in favor of the sorts of things that eroded their civilizations. And the dry rot of a civilization tends to be homosexuality. And once American and others in the Western world adopted a Greek and Roman form of classical education, that eventually led to an acceptance of homosexuality by men like William Shakespeare and others at his time. But then we move into men like Emerson and men like Hawthorne and men like Hemingway. And Dave, throughout we find a lot of men, great men, great philosophers. Jeremy Bentham comes to mind as well, who got behind the vision for homosexuality. Jeremy Bentham, of course, wrote a book, Crimes Against Oneself, in which he promoted the idea of homosexuality and lamented the fact that there was only one or two homosexual exchanges going on in Amsterdam in any given century at the time that he wrote his book in, I believe it was 1786. And so Jeremy Bentham suggested that we ought to open the cage of demons, open Pandora's box, and it was the SCOTUS that kicked the lid of Pandora's box clean off, and there is no more lid on Pandora's box, and the scourge of homosexuality has been unleashed upon the entire Western world. This is the vision of many great thinkers, great philosophers, movers and shakers, men who set the direction for the Western world back in the 1600s, 1700s, and 1800s. And I chronicle this in my book, Apostate. So if you want to know what's going on, if you're kind of confused and you say, wow, it looks to me like civilization is unraveling around us. It looks to me like the faith is dying. It looks to me like Christians are going to be persecuted in the next 50 years in nations like Canada and America and England. You need to get a copy of my book, Apostate, The Men Who Destroyed the Christian West, available at our website, kevinswanson.com. Dave, this Supreme Court decision was an incredibly important decision, I believe. However, there have been really, really important decisions and horrible decisions that have set the direction for our entire culture and our entire social order in the United States over, say, the last 100 years or so. Maybe we should touch on some of those.
Right. When the Supreme Court makes a decision like this, we're not all that shocked because we realize that bad ideas, James calls them earthly, sensual, and demonic. So they come from the spiritual realm. They come with bad ideas, and those ideas are typically attacking, trying to destroy the things that God holds dear. Most of the worst decisions are attacking the family. Now, those ideas were already in the culture. This is an important point, and I think your book addresses this, is that the philosophers, the ideas of the philosophers are caught on by the literary artists and the cultural artists, the people who make movies and music and literature. Those ideas are already out there. By the time it gets to the court just gasses up the vehicle and says, go. So when the court comes up with a bad decision, understand the court did not come up with the idea of gay marriage. The court did not come up with the idea of homosexuality. The court is just following the cultural Nephilim of our day. And, they're giving it, though, legal protection. And that's important to understand because my Bible, and I'm pretty sure your Bible, you use the King James Bible, and I use the New King James. It's like King James the Second. Says that the civil magistrate is God's minister to be a terror to evil and to reward righteousness. And what now they're doing is by giving legal protection to evil, they're rewarding evil and they're punishing righteousness. So this is what the court did. The court turned the mission of the civil magistrate on its head.
Yeah. And the goal is to punish righteousness, righteous people, and to reward those who do wickedness.
Well, because those things that are earthly, sensual, demonic are against the things that God values. And what does God value? Well, righteousness.
Well, and my friends, I'm afraid that what we're going to have to say is prepare for persecution. That's probably going to come shortly. And I'm ready for it. Hey, they've been persecuting people for a long time for you doing
right. We have not yet resisted sin unto bloodshed.
Yeah.
You know, so we're of that point that, maybe it's about time that we don't seek to float to heaven on flowery beds of ease while others fought to win the prize upon the bloody seas. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's time we join some of those true men of faith.
Well, let's talk about the worst decisions in the history of the Supreme Court of the United States. And Dave, you are right. You are right. Ultimately, it is education. We all knew that because the media is in favor of homosexual marriage by a quotient of 5-1, I read that story a week ago or so, and because education is very, very, very much in favor of a progressive agenda, thanks to John Dewey and others, philosophers and literary giants who set the direction for the liberalization of America, because, we already have this in the infrastructures of society. Supreme Court decisions are just a stamp of approval upon what society has already said. Hey, this is the direction we want to go. All right. So Supreme Court decisions that have been very important in time past. I'm going to put today's decision as very, very, very important. It's going to be in my top five. But Dave, let's hit a few others. Let's say Roe v. Wade. That comes to mind, 1973.
Roe v. Wade opened the door to killing babies.
Yeah.
And
it did. It was huge. It was huge.
Well, it's an abomination. Yeah.
Yeah.
When we are now killing, I don't know how many.
It's impossible to know anymore.
Maybe half the babies that are conceived.
They can do so much with chemicals. They don't have to rely on surgical as much. And the Plan B pill, of course, enables, hundreds of millions of dead bodies. I'm not sure.
The decision, it's
impossible to count them anymore.
So the decision did this. It really lowered our regard for life as something that is special and precious. Life is no longer precious. Life is disposable. Secondly, it destroyed and helped destroy the very strong privilege, the holy privilege of being a mother. Third is it made selfishness the economic virtue that it trumps morality. So Roe v. Wade is, it's way up there on the most abominable decisions ever made by any court ever in the history of humanity.
Okay, let's talk about the second worst Supreme Court decision of all time. I'm going to put Lawrence v. Texas as probably the second worst. I think it was 1996, if I'm not mistaken, when Lawrence v. Texas, and that, of course, legitimized sodomy in the entire United States, everywhere.
That was offensive, not only because of what it legitimized an abomination, but it also said that this was a federal protected right,
yeah,
and the states could not legislate
right
against abominations in their own state. So if right Colorado says, we really don't want to extend special rights to homosexuals. Oh, wait a minute. We voted that way. I don't know if you remember that.
Yeah, 1992, sure.
And we said, just because you have some really perverted sexual practices doesn't entitle you to some special protection under the law. Well, it turns out that apparently Lawrence v. Texas says we can't even identify them.
All right, let's hit a few others here, Dave. Engle v. Vitale is my number three of the worst Supreme Court decisions in the history of the United States. SCOTUS really blew it with Engle v. Vitale. And of course, Dave, it was probably rooted in Reynolds versus the United States in 1878, and the Separation Clause was pulled into Supreme Court decision after Supreme Court decision over a period of 100 years. And then by the time you get to Engle v. Vitale, that took all possibility of fearing God, all possibility of praising God, all possibility of praying to God in a public school classroom, clean out, and secularized education big time. Engle v. Vitale is a big one for me, Dave. I believe it was 1962 when the Supreme Court of the United States said we are not going to fear God. And then hundreds of millions of Christians said, okay, that sounds just fine to me. We're sending our kids to these schools. There will be no fear of God. We will separate God from our children's education entirely. There will be no worship, no praise, no thanksgiving, no prayer to the true and living God in the science classrooms, in the history classrooms. That, my friends, is fundamental in undermining the faith in America. And as long as Christians sent their kids to those public schools since 1962, they have guaranteed that their children will never fear God and walk in his ways. Fear God and learn about the true and living God who actually redeemed them from their sins. So the purging of all recognition of God, all fear of God from the public school classrooms in 1962 was probably one of the most fundamental ways in which God was purged from the metaphysic, and we became the most godless nation on planet Earth, with maybe the exception of communist China.
Maybe. And what it did, legally speaking, is it made the Establishment Clause, and actually a very perverted view, atheist perverted view of the Establishment Clause, to include the Free Exercise Clause. But this is just one decision in a whole host of decisions.
There were about 10.
Everson, we could talk about McCollum, we could talk about Waltz, we could talk about Lemon versus Kurtzman. There's the funding, there's the public displays, there's the school prayer. The court has been on a quest to try and expunge the name of God from any display.
Was the 1980s, they forbade a moment of silence. Couldn't even have a moment of silence. Okay, number four, in terms of the worst decisions in the history of the Supreme Court in the United States, friends, I'm going to put it Kelo versus New London, Dave. And I know at this point we're probably getting into some debate, but Kelo was a huge decision in undermining the family. Explain to the audience why Kelo versus New London undermined the family economy.
Well, it does undermine the family economy because it undermines economic freedom, the right to own property. In the Kelo decision, the town of New London wanted to build something that would give them more tax revenue than what was there.
That's right.
And so they were able to condemn the property, even though the people on the property had owned it free and clear, had paid their taxes, had given Caesar what was due to Caesar. The town decided they wanted to pursue a better economic opportunity.
Ahab moved in and says, I like the vineyard.
Yes. And Naboth's resistance was not heard by the court.
So the Naboth versus New London case was a total disaster for family freedoms in America.
Well, the ability to have a family business. Now, that means if Walmart wants to put you out of business.
Yeah.
And Walmart says, you know, we're going to be able to pay more tax revenue.
Which, by the way, they can.
Right.
They do. They pay way more tax revenue.
Well, they do. So
that puts the little guy clean out of business.
They can do it not just by taking his property, but by taking his business license.
Yeah.
And you don't believe that's true? It is true. Mm-hmm. And what's more is they can put every little church on every city block out of business. They can condemn that property for somebody who will pay property taxes because we all know churches don't generate revenue.
This is called tyranny, friends. And it comes from your lovely SCOTUS, the Supreme Court of the United States. And Dave, let's move on to number five and number six and number seven. I mean, we've got so many bad ones here. I think there's some debate on some of these. I think this week's decision is way up there, but a couple fives. Let's list a couple fives. Buck v. Bell would be up there.
Buck v. Bell is
up. Buck v. Bell was a piece of trash.
Buck v. Bell, it's hard to believe it slipped to number five.
It's a piece of trash.
Higher. Yeah. Buck v. Bell says that the court can order a mother to kill her baby. Actually, can order a doctor to kill a baby in a mother, even against the mother's desires. Or the father's desires. Well,
Buck v. Bell was a forced sterilization on a woman who had a little lower mental status.
She would have been qualified to be a Supreme Court justice.
It was a eugenic bill. It was a eugenicist bill. And that, my friends, happened back in the 1920s. And let's hit a few others, Dave. This week's decision was a bad decision. Reynolds versus United States in 1878. That was, I believe, the first decision that introduced the separation clause.
Right. So we have cases that are trying to separate us from God. We have cases that are trying to separate families, or there are cases that attack property rights. There are cases that attack morality, and all of them are bad. And, you know, you pick them from here.
Yeah.
You pick them from here.
You got any others?
I do. There was a case. This is one we don't talk about very much. Because it's somewhat obscure, but it's Santa Clara versus Southern Pacific Railroad. This is an 1886 case. This is right after the Civil War. And this case declared that corporations have legal rights, all the constitutional rights of a person, therefore alienating family businesses for the corporations yet once again. Mm-hmm. And it's not a big case. It's not an in-your-face case. But the repercussions of that case have done more to destroy family economies than anything since, well, Kelo.
Okay, my friends, we got a lot of bad decisions. Kelo versus New London, Lawrence v. Texas, Roe v. Wade, Buck v. Bell, Engle v. Vitale, Reynolds v. United States, and of course the most recent decisions on the Supreme Court of the United States that legitimized homosexual marriage. All right, be back in just a moment with more on this whole homosexual marriage thing, friends. We're setting a very odd direction, a very dangerous trajectory for this nation. Be back in just a moment. This is Kevin Swanson. Folks, this is your host, Kevin Swanson, and I've attended the Renewing the Family Camp every year for the last 8 years. This camp has been a tremendous encouragement to my whole family. Out at the Maranatha Camp in western Nebraska, we enjoy great times of teaching, worship, outdoor sports, fellowship, water skiing, climbing walls, ropes courses, and skeet shooting. You can't beat the rates as low as $192 for your whole family for the whole week. This year, I will be speaking with Nathan Clark George, one of my family's favorite Christian musicians. Nathan is a regular guest on this program and will provide a concert for us as well. Check out our website at renewingthefamily.com. That's renewingthefamily.com. This week will be a week to remember on the part of your family, your children, your grandchildren, for a number of generations, and I think this date will be remembered in history books in many, many years to come. Remember, most of the Western world has been corrupted and broken down by the neuronic agenda. And the Supreme Court of the United States stepped forward and said, we love Nero, we love the neuronic agenda, and we want to destroy human civilization as we know it. And we're going to do it by way of legitimizing homosexual marriage and illegitimizing the DOMA Act, the Defense of Marriage Act, that was signed by a liberal Democrat back in 1996, Bill Clinton, which means that the direction of this nation is speeding ever so quicker towards the cliff. And by the way, this whole legitimizing of homosexual marriage is ridiculous because, Dave, it's just a charade anyway. It's just a charade anyway. It turns out you do a little bit of research on homosexual marriage and divorce, and Dave, you find out that there's little research out there except that the Swedes and the Norwegians have legitimized homosexual marriage a little bit before us, and so there's been a few years on this. And there is a study out there done by Gunnar Andersen, Ture Nowak, Ann Seterstad, and Harald Wieden-Fager. And these apparently Swedes and Norwegians. And the study was done, I believe, in 2007, if I'm not mistaken. Anyway, Dave, this whole homosexual marriage thing is just a charade. They're far more likely to be divorced, meaning they're not going to live together, meaning that it's just a mess. But they got a 50% higher chance of divorce for male homosexuals, a 267% higher rate of divorce for lesbians. Dave, it's a charade. They come together, they do a little ceremony thing, and then they cheat on each other.
I don't really believe that's the purpose. It's a huge mess. I don't believe that the purpose they had was to act like married and to
No, that's not what it's for. No. That's what it's – remember, it's to stick a finger in the eye of God. That's what it's all about. And it's just it's to destroy civilization. It's to remind all 250 million kids in the Western world that – marriage is of no use. It's to drag feces all over the most beautiful things that God has created. And it's to destroy future civilizations. It's to encourage homosexuality, which obviously leads to birth implosions, which obviously destroy civilizations. So it's all about committing cultural suicide. SCOTUS, the Supreme Court of the United States, took a gun, put it to its own head, and pulled the trigger. Because now we're looking at a civilization committing suicide. This is what it looks like. When an entire civilization commits suicide, it's very gory, very, very gory. But, Dave, I mean, this study here, I mean, it's okay. If ordinary people are getting divorced at a rate of 50%, which, by the way, also represents the unraveling of Western civilization,
right?
Homosexuals right now, at least on this very, very limited sample size of a couple hundred over a few 5-6 years, which.
And these are the most committed.
Yeah, these are the most committed.
These are the most, quote, in love.
The most committed 400 couples they looked at, or 800 couples they looked at. So sample size 800, not a huge sample size.
Okay.
And they looked at it over a period of about 9 years.
Okay.
1993 to 2002, of which most of them were probably married, quote unquote, like 4 years ago, whatever. Well, anyway, it's 50% higher than what you find with heterosexuals. For homosexuals, but for lesbians, it's 267% higher, which means that if the divorce rate is at 50%, 267% lesbians are going to get divorced. That's more than 100%.
Look, you can't.
That's more than 100%.
You can't connect two bolts and you can't connect two nuts. It just doesn't work that way.
Okay, now, Here's another article that came out of the New York Times. January 29th, 2010. Most successful gay marriages share an open secret. You'll never guess what the open secret is. I don't know. I don't think we even want to talk about the open secret.
Okay.
So the successful gay marriages. Okay. Now I can read this story. I don't think I'm in the mood to.
Okay.
You know, I just had breakfast. Okay. You know, and I don't. But most successful gay marriages share an open secret. This is the New York Times. This is not some kind of focus on the family, narrow-minded, bigoted, homophobic, conservative group somewhere. No. This is the New York Times. Many successful gay marriages share an open secret. And so the reason they're so successful is that they're open to, like, whatever. So it's not really anything.
Okay.
So the marriage is...
We'll just move on.
Is not really... This is very sick, Dave. This is a very sick thing. And so let's not talk about it anymore.
Okay. Let's just talk about this.
Yeah.
There are many...
Let's talk about, like...
There are probably many motivations.
God brings a man and woman together.
There's probably many motivations, including envy and jealousy. Some want to destroy marriage. Some want to have what married people have.
And what about...
But it's a very Pyrrhic victory.
And what about the lust thing?
What about
it? I don't think they've ever solved that problem.
Well, no. Of course not. They weren't trying to solve it.
No.
I say it's a Pyrrhic victory because the society they believe they can prosper in is the very society they're destroying. When will people learn that when you choose to be as God, let's go back to the garden, you will be as God, deciding right and wrong, what's good and bad. When man does that, he always brings death. It brought death in the garden. It brings, when the court decides to be God, it brings death. In this case, it'll probably be the death of society, death of the West. We're excited about it because what's dying is that which is opposed to Christ.
What will survive
is that which is silver, gold, and precious stones.
Because you know what? We're not about that. And friends, here's the deal. The Titanic has already hit the iceberg. It's going down. It's going down. It's going way down. But the life raft manufacturing centers are doing really, really well. Really well. Occasionally, people listen to the truth. Occasionally, people repent their sins. Occasionally, people do come to live the order, the law order of Jesus Christ. But Dave, a few other stories tied into this, and I've got to address these things. So Obama is in Africa. When the SCOTUS decision comes down, he does a little victory march in the end zone, and the president of Namibia, wherever he was, wasn't really happy.
Yeah,
Senegal.
It's amazing how
the president of Senegal was saying, "Actually, we're not going to do this right now," but he's offering a possibility that it may come to his nation someday. So it's interesting. Three or four nations in Africa still offer the death penalty for homosexuality, according to this article. But Obama is out there really trying to hard sell the destruction of the West to every other nation around the world because you know if you're going down, you want to take the entire world with you.
And I understand that Obama made a phone call to one of the plaintiffs in the case, you know, congratulating them, much like he did when the homosexual NBA player came out. It's amazing how Obama can be right on the stick when somebody's sticking the finger in God. But if people are dying in Benghazi, what's it matter anyway? I need a nap.
Now, here's one more story, and I think we want to end on this one, Dave. And this is not a pleasant story. None of them are pleasant. But evidently, you know, the agenda is moving quicker than we thought. So the homosexuals have gained their recognition. Now the polyamorous are trying for it in Canada and... And I don't think we want to talk about this. This is basically legalized orgies.
Right. But
you're too narrow-minded. It's just, Dave, I think this is going to be next year or it might be next month. I'm not sure.
We're going narrow-minded.
Faster and faster and faster and faster, Dave. Polyamory is coming to a nation near you. They're pushing for legal recognition in Canada, according to this article.
Again, Kevin, I think you just don't understand. You're too narrow-minded. You're still thinking human-human marriage.
Yeah. Okay, let's not go there.
We're going to go cross species, and then we're going to go non-life forms.
Yeah, sort of the Star Trek thing. Okay, so friends...
There's some people who love their MacBooks.
If people want to marry their pet rock. But at this point, it's the destruction of civilization. And friends, you don't have to go down with it, okay? You can establish godly families. And okay, the macro is going down. And just about every... conservative Christian pro-family organization is finally understanding that we don't need to compromise to keep up with whatever's going on at the Supreme Court of the United States. You don't have to be like the guys at the White Horse Inn that are saying, hey, maybe civil unions is okay because it's an expression of neighborly love. Okay. Okay. You don't have to do that. You don't have to kowtow to what's going on in the world out there. You can maintain a system of God's ethical standards as the ethical standard by which we call the nations to repentance. We can do that. You can continue to stay firm to the principles of God's word. And this is what we encourage. Now, we understand that not very many are doing this much anymore. But friends, the rest of the world is perishing together with its destructive lusts and passions. It's destroying itself. And we're just going to sit here on the sidelines and watch it. Maybe hold up a sign and call people to repentance and faith in Christ. But that's what's happening with the macro. Our world is apostatizing, especially the Western world. They're walking away from the faith. And the reason why the pagan nations are not endorsing something as pagan, something as horrible as homosexual marriage, is because the Western nations have a vendetta against the true and living God. They're turning away from Christ. They hate Christ. They hate his word. And they're making a point of it at the Supreme Court of the United States. That's what's happening. We live in an apostate age. The Western world has apostatized, and the Supreme Court of the United States put the icing on the cake this week. And that's why you need to get a copy of my book now, Apostate, The Men Who Destroyed the Christian West. You've got to understand the agenda. This is what has happened, and it's exactly what the philosophers of the 19th century planned. Okay, my friends, but also, my book warns our own families not to apostatize, not to weaken our perspective of the Word of God, but to continue to call our own people to repentance. Because unless we repent, we will likewise perish. Unless we repent, we will likewise perish. And my book Apostate, I think, is a warning signal to anybody who wants to salvage themselves and their children from this Titanic that's going down. I'm warning people. This may be your last warning. If you want to salvage yourself and your families, I would encourage you to a life of repentance, metanoeo, a change of mind, heart, according to God's word. And this is really what I am telling people in my book, Apostate, The Men Who Destroyed the Christian West. It's the most important book I've ever written, and I would encourage you to grab a copy of it at our website, kevinswanson.com. If you can't afford it, just let us know and we can send you a copy. This is Kevin Swanson, encouraging you. Come back again as we continue to lay down a vision for future generations.